so we're going to turn to God's Word now. If you want to open up page 268 of the Bibles again, Ruth chapter 2, as we think about Ruth's refuge today. And boys and girls, hopefully you've got your sermon saver sheets ready, you've got your pens and crayons and different things, and as we go through the sermon, you can write down the points and write down the things that you want to remember and take away from today. And as we begin, just to share with you, one of the questions that I love to answer, I've been asked this sometimes when I'm in visits, is how did you and Caroline meet? Okay, and that's a long story for another day, but one day I'll share that. But today we're thinking about another story of how Boaz and Ruth, how they met in a field, and how this meeting one day would lead to them being married. But our passage today is about more than just Ruth and Boaz. In Ruth 2, we see God graciously provide a refuge for Naomi and Ruth when they had returned to the promised land. They come back from Moab to the land of promise, but all was not well. And in Boaz, God meets Naomi and Ruth's desperate need with generous, abundant provision and gracious protection. And so today we'll learn that God's people, whenever they turn to him, return to him in faith, he will provide a refuge and a redeemer. Today we see that God's people, when they come to him, will always find the provision of a refuge and a redeemer who provides. Today we get a picture of God's covenant love for his people, that special commitment he has to those he's gladly made an unbreakable bond with. And we are once again then led to Jesus, the true refuge of God's people, the ultimate provision by a loving God. So let's firstly consider this provision of a refuge. And I wonder, when was the last time that you felt anxious about the future? When was the last time you found yourself wondering, how would you get through the next 24 or 48 hours? You see, to truly appreciate our story today, we need to grasp just how desperate Naomi and Ruth's situation was as chapter 2 begins. We need to understand that these women were in dire straits. They didn't know where their next meal would come from, and they didn't know if they'd make it safely through the night. Both these women were helpless and hopeless. According to the culture of their day, Ruth and Naomi's situation was dire and it was dangerous. Naomi was a childless widow. She was cursed in the eyes of her culture, probably feeling God's hand upon her because of her disobedience, or so the people around her might have thought. And Ruth, a foreign widow, a despised Moabite no less, would have been treated with suspicion, if not downright hostility. And without husbands or sons, there was no one to provide for them or protect them. And their future was bleak. They needed help, and they knew it. They needed someone to step up and provide for them. They needed someone to step in and protect them. Because remember, this was a world where everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So these women were neither safe nor secure on their own. No, they were in need. As they faced the difficulties and dangers of a fallen world, they needed a God to provide for them a refuge for his people. And as the story unfolds in Ruth 2, we see that God works in the lives of Naomi and Ruth. He will provide for them in the most beautiful of ways. And so in Ruth 2 verse 1 we read, "Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz." And so right at the very start of this chapter, we're told, keep your eyes fixed on Boaz. This man, he's going to be important for the rest of our story. We're going to see that God answers the prayers of his people through this man of standing. A man able and willing to come to people in need. And notice throughout Ruth 2, if you read it carefully, maybe go home today and read it again, there's a striking description of Boaz. He's a man of wealth and influence. He owns land and his people to work for him. And these people respect Boaz. So he's also a godly man. Notice how he greets his workers with God's word on his lip, and he seeks their blessing as they seek his blessing upon them. And then later we'll see that Boaz is consistently committed to obeying God's law. In a time when everyone else was doing whatever they wanted, Boaz was committed to keeping God's law in a costly way. And most importantly for the rest of our story, we'll see that he's a relative of Naomi, a possible kinsman redeemer. But we'll come to that later on. So we see that when Ruth and Naomi returned to God, they found a man who was willing and able to help them in their time of need. That God provided for them at their point of need. Our story then points us forward to this great truth. That God in Christ has provided for us at our point of truest need. And his provision for his people is not random. Remember, as we said before, from the very beginning of time, from before the beginning of time, God has always had a plan to rescue his people. And he works that plan out in the lives of each of his people to bring them to himself. God never leaves anything to chance. He always works out his purposes for his people in a perfect and planned and providential way. Notice that in verses 2 to 4. Here we see that both human responsibility and God's providence go hand in hand. In faith, Ruth goes out for help, or in search of help. She seeks someone to whom would show favour to her. She's in search of God's faithful provision for his people. And God rewards that faith in the most wonderful way. Now, to set the context, maybe some of you might remember that in the law, God had commanded farmers to leave an area of unharvested land so that the poor could glean, so that they could pick up leftovers from the harvest. So they wouldn't harvest the whole field, but leave some around the edges for the poor and needy to come and pick up for themselves. So Ruth, we see, trusting in this provision of God's law, goes out to glean. She is faithful and kind to her mother-in-law. She doesn't wait for handouts. She doesn't wait for somebody to come to her help. Rather, she trusts in the provisions of God's law and goes out to help herself. And God honours those who honour him. Look at verse 3. And those words, as it turned out. The literal translation there is, as chance chanced. Or we might say, as luck would have it. But we, and the narrator, know that there's no such thing as luck. No such thing as coincidence. Rather, we're being told it in this way so that we take notice. Here we're reminded that our God is a sovereign God, sovereign over all, and he's graciously working out his purposes in the lives of his people. He's arranging all these things, all these people to come together at just the right moment so that Naomi and Ruth would be provided for. In verses 2 to 4, we see Ruth going out and just ending up in Boaz's field. And then Boaz just appearing at just the right moment. All these things are coming together as God had planned them. Behind all these things, we see the hand of God moving to provide for Naomi and Ruth. And as we watch God orchestrate this great refuge for his people, we are called to trust in our God. And remember that he's graciously sovereign and sovereignly gracious. That no matter what is happening in our lives, God is working for our good and his glory. that God can take all the circumstances, any circumstance, even the horror of the cross, and work it for the good of his people. God provides a refuge for those who recognize their need in him and turn to him in faith. God's will is always that his people would turn to him and trust in him, and that he would meet them at their point of need. He would provide a refuge for them. In the story of Ruth and Boaz, we also see that God provides a redeemer who will provide. When was the last time, I wonder, you were invited out for a meal? Or maybe at the minute you're looking to see who's going to provide Christmas dinner on Christmas Day. I wonder how you feel whenever you're invited for Christmas dinner or for any kind of meal. Or how do those who invite you make you feel welcome? Well, as chapter 2 continues, we see Boaz invite Ruth to join him and his workers for a meal. And he makes her feel welcome. He includes her. And he gives her more than she needs to eat. Here, grace is graciously displayed and wonderfully received. And we have a sense that something deeper is happening along the way. This is not simply Boaz providing food for Ruth. We're being set up to a bigger story to come. Remember, Ruth has gone out into the fields to find food. She's faithful and loving and committed. She's courageous, hardworking, loyal. And the news of her sacrifice for Naomi has gone out and boosts her reputation. And so in verses 4 to 7, we see how one man, Boaz, takes notice of the grace of God in her life. Because godly people will always recognize God's grace in the lives of others. Boaz, this godly man, he takes note of Ruth. And his question, who does that young woman belong to, is in actual fact a concern that he's showing. He's really saying, who's looking after, who's taking care of Ruth? And when he realizes that Ruth is the widowed foreigner who'd sacrificed all for Naomi, he's concerned for her. He's moved to action. And in the verses that follow, Boaz expresses a remarkable commitment to give both protection and provision. Boaz will go above and beyond to look after this woman. And in these verses, there's a superabundant supply provider. Think of that great sack that Ruth takes home with her. And there's words of kindness expressed. Boaz expressed a blessing over Naomi, or over Ruth, because of her love for Naomi. And Ruth, this outsider, is welcomed in to the family of God. Boaz goes above and beyond his basic requirements to care for the poor and welcome the outsider. He takes great time and care. He makes great commitments to provide for Ruth and Naomi in their point of need. He displays true kindness, overwhelming generosity. He gives above and beyond. And in this generous provision, in this profound kindness, once again we are pointed to Christ. In the gospel, we experience the most generous of provisions and the truest of all kindnesses. In Christ, our deepest need is met with a superabundant supply of grace. Every sin is paid for. Every sin is dealt with. Past, present, and future. In Christ, we receive a wonderful welcome of adoption into the family of God. We are no longer counted as enemies of God, but cherished children. And in Christ, in the gospel, words of love and grace are declared over us. We are now children of the Most High King, citizens of heaven, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. In Christ, that is our identity. Whatever else we may feel, whatever else anyone may say about us, the Lord of glory, the one who made us, declares us special, prized, of infinite worth. And as we take time to ponder this generous provision we have in Christ, surely it must provoke in us deep and lasting gratitude. Consider Ruth after hearing of Boaz's generous provision in verses 8 and 9. Look at verse 10. She says this, "At this she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, 'Why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?'" Ruth responds with astonishment and gratitude. She's effectively saying, "Thank you from the bottom of my heart, but why me? What have I done to deserve this?" She was amazed by the grace that she'd been shown. The kindness, the mercy, the love, the compassion of a Redeemer, it provokes gratitude and a deep sense that she's receiving something she does not deserve. Ruth is showered with kindness and it fills her with amazement. And we too, when we gaze at the cross, when we ponder the gospel, should be deeply moved. Are you amazed by grace? Are you increasingly amazed by grace? And then notice later on in the story, Naomi also shares that wonder. Ruth comes home with this 30-pound sack of grain. It's equivalent to one of those big bags of doggy food. She puts it on the table, and Naomi is astonished. There's plenty to eat. Where once they didn't know where the next meal was coming from, now it's all taken care of. And in that practical provision, Naomi sees that God is at work and her heart is softened. In verse 20, we see, "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." In the provision of a redeemer and the generosity of that redeemer, Naomi sees that God is at work, that God cares, that God will provide. Boaz was the means that God used, but Naomi saw the goodness of God behind it all. But then our chapter ends with, in a sense, a bit of anticlimax. In verse 23, we read, "So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law." Just ends suddenly. And we're left hoping, wondering, what will happen between Boaz and Ruth? Food was not the only thing these women lacked. Naomi and Ruth had received an abundance of food, but Ruth still needed a husband. She's still living with her mother-in-law. And so we're left to wonder if God can faithfully provide so abundantly for Ruth's need of food, will he not also supply in this other area? Will he meet her other need? And this will they, won't they, between Boaz and Ruth, is the thought that we're left with. We're wondering, anticipating. And as we wonder and anticipate, we're left to wonder and anticipate that greater redemption, that more wonderful conclusion. We see Naomi and Ruth return to the land of promise empty, but they find refuge in the Redeemer Boaz. There's generous provision, there's loving kindness from Boaz, but ultimately from God. And so we are called to remember that in the gospel, we find the ultimate refuge in Christ. In the generous provision of salvation, eternally planned, lovingly won for us at the cross, we are called into everlasting fellowship with God. And that love and kindness calls us to gratitude and trust. So let's leave today amazed and grateful, fully trusting in God as our Saviour and Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for your word. We thank you, Father, that in this story, this wonderful story of Ruth and Boaz, we're pointed to the greatest story of all, that you are the one who's a refuge for our weary souls. You're the generous Redeemer who's given us the most wonderful gift of all. You've met us at our deepest need and welcomed us into your family. Help us, Father, to be increasingly amazed by your grace and to remember that we have a Redeemer in Jesus, your Son, your only Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.